You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
It seems like on the rest of the East Coast, it might not be a lot of sun out there, but it is pleasant. And for that, we are giving thanks to our Lord. Guys, we had been out of the book of 1 John for a while, and we had Pastor Donnie last week, and then we are in some of the Christmas sermons. And today we're going to pick up our study back in 1 John. And we're going to be in 1 John, as a bulletin tells us, in 1 John chapter 4, some verses that we have already looked at, beginning at verse 1, 1 John chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading at verse 1. And though we have seen these before, by way of review, we'll look at them again. And John was talking to us in regard to us trying the Spirit by the Spirit in regard to the teachings that we might listen to or that we might gravitate toward, that we need to make sure that they come from the heart of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1, if you're with me, please say amen. And the verse begins, it says, Beloved, and I'll pause there, and I generally do when I see that love, that word, because it reminds me that we who are Christians are beloved of God, that he has loved us so much, he gave us his son, and so he can make this statement. John can say, Beloved, and he's talking about all believers. He said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. And listen, he's talking about those that come along, and he says these spirits that they're numerous, and we'll see that as well, that everybody that says, Lord, Lord, does not necessarily mean that they're working for the Lord. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. And he goes on and tells us why. He says, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And I love that. He's saying that there are many that are going out there are diametrically opposed to God and to Jesus Christ. And every time I read this verse, it reminds me of what we read last time we were in this book. We went back to Matthew 13 and 14, and it was speaking about the broad gate and the many folk that are going to be going in, and that gate is leading into death and the hell, and that narrow gate which leads unto life. And listen, Matthew said, and few there are that find it. And listen, that's why we're beloved of God, because we are the few that God has blessed us to understand it and blessed us to find that narrow gate. He goes on in verse 2. He says, Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And again, a lot of folk might be saying that they're coming in the name of Jesus, but it shouldn't just be what they're saying. It ought to show in their walk, in their talk, and the way that they live their lives. It ought to show. And in fact, the way we live speaks louder than what we say with our mouths. Because we can be saying one thing and be living diametrically opposed to what we're saying. And look, they're going to believe your actions or your works or how you're living more than your words. And there are some that will say they know Jesus, but in reality, they really don't. But and John is helping us understand that, look, if somebody is saying something and their lives are actually speaking the same thing, that we can pretty much be assured that that spirit is coming from God. He says in verse 3, And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. He goes on, wherein ye have heard that it should come. And even now, the verse says, is already in the world. And look, he already talked about those many false preachers or false prophets that were coming in their own name and in their own way. In fact, they were serving the God of this world, who's Satan, and surely not the God of heaven. And look, he's letting us know that though the Antichrist, the one that's going to be identified after the church is gone, that before he even comes, before we get out of here, that his spirit is still alive and well, and I'll say dead and well, and is working. And guys, we are seeing some of the attributes of that spirit, especially in the time that we live. And it seems like every time we lay down, we wake up, we see more and more of this, that this is going wrong, and these are going this way, and this is going that way. And everybody is trying to go in their own mind what they say is right, but there's only one right way. I heard somebody say the other day that you need to walk in your truth, that's true for you. But guys, from what I'm getting from scripture and what God is helping me in my heart know, that there's only one truth and one source of truth, and it comes from God through his son, Jesus Christ, who is the living word. And if it does not line up with him, then they are in line with these antichrists or these false prophets that are profiting or prophesying about something that's straight from the pits of hell. There's only one truth. And listen, you don't have to agree with it, but I dare say you will surely be judged out of this same truth that we're looking at today. He says, in every spirit, verse 3, that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and is that spirit of Antichrist, where ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. But in regard to the believers, in regard to God's true children, he says in verse 4, ye are of God, little children. And I love that. He's giving us a friendly reminder that, look, no matter what the world does, what they say, or even what they say is now law, that you can now freely do this, if it goes against God's word, listen, as God's children, we can't go there. And he's reminding us of that. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. In other words, overcome them who are working out of the spirit of the Antichrist. He said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And guys, Christ is in us via his Holy Spirit. He has planted him there. And listen, I don't care where you go, what you do, he's going to be there if indeed you do belong to him. And listen, Satan can never, ever, ever defeat a believer who sold out for Christ and are being obedient to him. And the only way he'll get some inroads on a believer is if we give him that privilege. In other words, we go farther, we start sinning, and then for sure, he will grab a hold of us and twist us and turn us every which way but loose. But when we're obedient to what God tells us, we can stand our ground. And listen, I shared last time we were in this book about the guy's taking a picture of the elephant and his buddy is filming, and the elephant's come right charging, and he is so petrified he didn't move. And this elephant could have ran right over him, but it stopped and just kicked up a fuss and trumpeted a little bit, kicked some dust up, and did not kill that man. He didn't know that. He thought he was going to be dead. He really did. But we read in 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9, be sober, and this is for the believer, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He says, whom resist ye steadfast in the faith. In other words, when he's coming, he's going to come, and he's going to come just like that elephant, and it's going to look like he's going to run you over. But you stand your ground, you stand in Christ. You be obedient to Christ. And listen, it simply looks like evidence, but it's false evidence that appears real, because if you belong to the Lord, there is nothing that he can do to cause you harm. Because whatever comes my way, whatever comes your way, God's ordained it or allowed it. And listen, only for a season. And look, many times or most times, it's designed to bring us closer to him, not further away. And so we clutch harder to him, and we get closer to him, and he helps us to understand that I got you. It's like a child, and they're out with their parents, and the child might be a little independent. He's running around and running over here and running over there, and then something comes to scare him. The first thing he's going to do is run and jump in his parents' arms, because he knows there's safety there. And for the child of God, for the beloved of God, when we have issues or when something comes our way, or even if we get a little frightened, we don't run and go back to our flesh. We go to our Lord because there's safety there. And we let him caress us and hold us and comfort us. And look, even if we're in the midst of something, he's going to take care of you even in the midst of that. And he does that because he loves you. And we need to know that he loves us and will always love us. Verse 5 says, they that are of the world, or they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And listen, he's talking about those false prophets that come along. And look, there are some, and they'll preach the Bible, calls it an itchy ear gospel, something that sounds good. And listen, it might even make your flesh feel good. But it really does not have any staying power, holding power, keeping power. And listen, don't you? It'll make you feel good about being in your sin, and don't worry about your sin. God loves you anyway. And they're preaching this thing. And look, those that are of the world, they gravitate toward that thing, and they think they've got something, but in reality, they have nothing. Because only God's truth is going to hold you. And listen, when I'm in trouble, when things come my way, if I'm low on money, or I got issues with my marriage, or I got some problems over here, or my car breaks down, or I need to figure out what I'm going to do over here, I need something that's going to sustain me. And I got 66 books of sustainer that will bless my heart and ring true with the spirit that lives inside of me and help me to understand that God's got me. And I can't see the end of this thing. And I surely don't know how this thing is going to end. But what I do know is that God, who allowed this in my life, has already worked out the fix. And because of that, I'm going to get close to him and let him do with me what needs to be done. And in the midst of all of this, guys, there's a lesson always to be learned. And we want to learn that lesson so that whatever we're in, we can come out of that thing and be stronger, not in of ourselves, but stronger in the Lord. In our bulletin, and my wife does these every week, it's titled something called The Believer's Valley Experiences, and good read. Don't read it now, just pay attention to what I'm doing, but read it later. And listen, it kind of helps us understand we're going to have some of these periods sometime, but the Lord's got you. And I don't care who says what, he's got you, and he's going to work it out. So stay close to him. He says in verse 5, they are of the world, therefore the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear them. And in verse 6, he says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. And John says, herein, or hereby, know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And guys, what I've found throughout life, and it's a scriptural principle as well, many times we're saying something to someone, or I'm talking to someone, and they ask me my opinion, or what they think they should do because they're in a dilemma or in a trial or going through something. And so invariably, I'm going to give them what God's word says. And either they're going to be obedient to his word, and God's going to bless them for being that, or they're not. But in a lot of cases, I'll tell them what the word says, and they'll say, okay, and then they go and do something diametrically different from what I told them God's word said. And I realize that they have not heard what I said, surely have not heard what God said. And listen, what I found is that the way you know that someone is hearing, and the way God knows that if you've heard him or not, is that because you are obedient to what he said. And if he said that you need to go here or stop this or do that, you need to do it. And if you're not doing that, then you've not heard him. But man, it's like the turkey in the oven. And you look in there and you say, nah, she ain't done yet. And you crank it up just a little higher, and you close the door. And listen, he can get it as hot as it needs to be. He said those whom he loves, he chastens, and that chastening can come in many forms. But if we're obedient, if we simply do what he says do, you're actually going to be okay. Amen. He says in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, he says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And by the way, scripture says, and listen, we've lived it out in our lives in Matthew 7, that you really can tell a tree by the fruit that comes off of it. And if it's godly fruit, you can bet your bottom dollar it's a tree that's been rooted and planted by Christ. But if it's an ungodly tree, you can pretty much bet that it's not one that our God has anything to do with. Guys, I would ask that you be prayerful with me as I preach along this sermon series. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And Father, as we dig deeper into 1 John, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll bless and minister. And as you already have, Father God, as you brought us into a brand new year, and Father God, we're starting off in a good place right here in your word, Father. We pray that you'll watch over us and bless as you see fit. As Deacon Frank said earlier in his prayer, that there are some that can't be here or could not be here or chose not to be here. But Father, please even anoint the recording so when they see that recording, that they'll be blessed even by your word as well. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. And amen. I'm going to read verse 6 and then go into verse 7. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And as he goes and moves into verse 7, he begins to speak about God's love that for his people, but God's love is actually in his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. In verse 7, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, and everyone that says that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In other words, God, not just simply saying it, but it flows in your life. It flows in your mouth. It flows in your words. It flows in your actions. And listen, you're not just saying, I love the Lord. Your actions are showing that you indeed do love him. I'm reminded of, I used to watch, and still do watch it sometimes, Sanford and His Son with Fred Sanford, Red Fox. And he told his wife one time, she said, do you love me? And he said, I told you I loved you when we got married. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But guys, that's not the kind of love that God has for us. God loves us. He loves us eternally. And listen, he hadn't brought you this far to turn you loose for you to be on your own. He loves you every moment of every day. Loves you so much. And look, he didn't just say it. He said, Jesus, I need you to go to earth because I need somebody to pay for the sins of sinful man. And Christ did it. And listen, he showed us his love by sending his only begotten son in our place. And that love is a forever love. And that love is what gets us into heaven. He says in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And surely we know it's more than just, it makes a good bumper sticker, but it's more than just a bumper sticker, guys. What we know is that God loved us again so much that he indeed sent his son, and he's not going to take that love back. And he shows us his love every day. Look, even when he chastens us, even when he lets us know that we're going the wrong way, that's love as well. And when we're out and about and talking to folk in the world, and listen, when he directs us towards someone and we say something to them about Christ or about their sin or whatever it is, and sometimes folk think that you're being mean, they think that you're not being right, they're saying you're not respecting me, man, but you're really showing them love. Because if you don't tell them, who else is going to tell them? But these guys that we saw earlier with that itchy ear gospel, those that are not of God, those false prophets, they'll tell them whatever they want to hear. But man, God loved me too much to lie to me, and I love you too much to lie to you as well. Man, a lot of folk look at me and they say, oh, that's Pastor Ralph. And man, that guy's okay. He preaches okay. But man, at home, I'm not really Pastor Ralph. I'm either Beetle, which is my nickname, or Ralph. And if I do something wrong, I have a disciple that lives with me. And she's not my disciple. She's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if I go wrong, guess what? She's going to call me on it. Because she loves me and loves me too much to let me go out thinking that I'm right and when in reality I'm wrong. And God's the same way. He does that with we, his children, guys. He loves us too much to let us continue in our folly or in our sin. He says in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. It says that we might through him, I'm sorry, I'm going to read verse 9 again. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, he says, live through him. And guys, he's talking about abundant living through Jesus Christ. And I hear what you're saying or what you're thinking, that, man, I'm going through this here. It don't seem so abundant to me. I'm going through this here, and I got to deal with this over here. But God says, I love you, and I love you to death, and I love you forever. There's a verse, and I'm not going to turn there, but I'll read it, John 10:10. It says, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, and this is Christ, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In other words, guys, even in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, in the midst of surgery, in the midst of illness, God says, I still got you. And hallelujah, you can still have my joy because I'm still with you and I still love you. And I don't care what the world thinks about you, but you're mine. And because of that, I'm going to take care of you. But he's going to take care of us in his time and in his way for the one that loves him back. And for the one that's obedient to him in all things. He goes on in verse 10, herein is love. Not that, and I love this, we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And guys, we know he's talking about the satisfactory offering for sin. And by the way, he was the only satisfactory offering that could ever be used. That back in the old covenant, they would use the best animal they could find, and they would sacrifice that, and that would cover their sin for a year. It wasn't forgiving their sin. But God grabbed hold of himself and said himself, and himself died on the cross, and he died for our sin, and he was sinless and sinless perfection and indeed had no sin nature, and that was the only thing that God could use. And guess what? It worked. Because God's standards are oh so much higher than even the priests in the temple standards. And not only did Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, it didn't just cover sin, it forgave sin. Because scripture says that God's wrath was poured out on his own Son. And to a point where Jesus had to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because for a moment in time, and surely in eternity, God had to turn his back on his Son so he could deal with the sin that God can't deal with, no sin. And he did that once and for all, and he died and was buried and rose up, and hallelujah, he was ready to go to heaven and send his Spirit down to those who would be alive. Belong to Christ. And he did that, and he does that, and he continues to do that. And guys, we on this side as his church, we need to be representing him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. And I get it, we all got different minds and different thoughts and different ways and different bents. Come from different parts of the country, and our family did it this way, our family did it this way. And God says, I don't care about your earthly family. I care about you and your spiritual family. And this is the way we do life. That old way is over. And listen, if I have a bet from my family, a certain habit that I used to do because my family, everybody in my family did it, if it's against God's word, I need to ask him to take that away from me. Because I realize now that it's not godly. Guys, almost everybody in my family at one time drank. Most of them drank. And so I did as well. And listen, I was an alcoholic, and I don't mind admitting that. And so that was something that I kept doing even after I got saved. And God helped me to know that, brother, this is not how you represent me here in the world. That you're not to be drunk with wine, but only under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I realized that when I was drinking, I was no longer under God's control. I was under my flesh's control. In fact, I was leaning toward the control of Satan and going right back to that way. And he said, no, you don't need that. And you don't need that anymore. And he took it, and he was right. I didn't need that. And there's a whole lot of other things that he took from me and some things that he's still working with me because he wants me to be more like his son. Amen. He says in verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He goes on, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also, he said, to love one another. And listen, he has given us the ability to do that. And what happens sometimes with the world, they think because we're saying that this is sin and this is wrong and God says that you shouldn't do that, they think that we're being mean, but he's saying that we ought to love one another. And look, we keep each other accountable. And we're this great big family here on earth. We're going to be that family there in heaven. And we need to go ahead and get started on getting right while we are here. And man, look at this. And listen, some of you guys are from the north. Some of you are from the south. Some of you are white. Some of you are black. Some of you are from Ireland. Some of you are from somewhere else. And listen, God said, no, I'm saving you. And you look around and we all look different. And you look at my Father through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And he said, whoa, they're mine. And they're conducting themselves like they belong to me. And I don't much care what that skin looks like, because guess what? They ain't going to have that long anyway. When I take them out of here, we're going to get a body that's composed and set up like Jesus, a heavenly body. So pay no attention to the guy at the pulpit. I might look a little old, but I ain't going to always be this way. And listen, what we know in life, in physical life, we're here, and we're here for a time, and we get older. Like our cars get older, everything gets older, things start breaking down. Nothing was meant to last forever, with the exception of your soul. And that will last forever. And the question is, where will your soul dwell? In heaven, with Christ, or in hell, with those that refuse to believe and listen to him? He says in verse 10, Herein is love. He said, man, brother, how many times you going to read that? Herein is love. He says, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love, it says, is perfected in us.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.